The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Thursday edition of a numbers game. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Get rest and relaxation. Kelly Bidlin here on the desk with me. Amazing show today. Jonathan Von Tobel going to join us. Going to talk all things NBA. Get you caught up on everything that's been happening in the season. If you're just now flipping over from NFL season, we got Joe Sheehan, who's going to get us ready for Major League Baseball. By the way, that is right around the corner. Spring training coming to you rapidly. We're already starting to get reports of who's throwing and who's not and who's ahead of schedule and who's behind schedule. And who is going to come in the best shape of their life? Always works when it comes to spring training. Kelly Bidlin, you got to know who's coming in the best shape of their life.
I'm trying to figure out if I miss it or not, like covering it every year, and I'd be the young whippersnapper like 10 years ago rushing to check lineups every day so I could bet it, like bet spring training games. And I don't know if I miss it that much. It's a lot of long days down in Florida, that's for sure.
It will be something else. I think I'm going to pop down and take a look at some of it. It's, you know, at some point, you know, a little pop down, take a look at a little bit of some of it. We're also going to talk some NFL. Listen, those NFL markets are popping up over DraftKings Sportsbook. We are proudly brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook here on A Numbers Game. And there are many different markets. If you hit that tab, you're thinking like, maybe I'm going to see one thing. No, there are a lot, and we're going to start getting through all of those. But first and foremost here, listen, I'm not going to, you know, preach to you for an entire segment or anything, but another mass shooting in America yesterday. It happens every single day, but this one might actually hit your Twitter timeline. This one, maybe you got a push notification about this one. Maybe it headlined your favorite sports website because this was sports adjacent. 22 people shot, one fatally, as they were out at the Chiefs victory parade in Kansas City yesterday. And listen, I don't claim to have all the answers with all of this. I don't. But all I can say is if you're struggling, I can beg of you to ask for help. If you see someone struggling, I can beg of you to offer help. If you hear something, if you see something, say something, because far too often in the aftermath of these tragedies, we find out, you know, maybe there were some signs. It was you hear the people say all the time, I didn't think it was actually a big deal with him or her. I can't believe he or she was actually serious. So if you see something, you hear something, please just say something. And look, this isn't some streaker at a game that we don't want to give oxygen to because we don't want to promote any of the stuff like that. They don't deserve our time. No, this is 21 people, 11 of them, which are children, whose lives will never be the same. One person whose life was taken from them. Somebody went out to celebrate their team winning another Super Bowl and didn't come home. And they deserve our oxygen. They deserve a couple of minutes at the top of this show for us to talk about it. And it's just not normal. It shouldn't be normal, and it shouldn't be normalized. We have to be better to our fellow man when it comes to all of this stuff. Now, the Chiefs had this to say: we are truly saddened by the senseless act of violence that occurred outside the Union Station at conclusion of today's parade and rally. Our hearts go out to the victims, their families, and all of Kansas City. We are in close communication with the mayor's office as well as the Kansas City Police Department. At this time, we have confirmed that all our players, coaches, staff, and their families are safe and accounted for. We thank the local law enforcement officers and first responders who were on scene to assist. And again, Kelly, not going to sit here and take all segment to go about all this. It's going to be on every single show today. But, you know, I'm not going to not talk about this. I'm not going to not bring it up. I'm not going to just gloss over this like we do so many times when something happens and we just look at it and go like, well, that's just what happens. And that's just where we are today. And this does at least have a sports tie. So it makes more sense for us to at least bring it up here at the top of this show and give it the oxygen that it does deserve and bring it to light that, hey, we have to be better. We have to do something about this. And if you're struggling, ask for help. If you see someone struggling, please offer help. If you see something that looks out of line, you got to say something, because, again, we see it all the time that there were signs a lot of times of some of this stuff. And there were kind of, if you connect the dots along the way, maybe not everyone, maybe not even one in every, maybe not even most, one in 10 even, if it could be prevented, could be something that could be a win here for us.
Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible situation yesterday, obviously. Thoughts and prayers go out to all the families involved. I mean, just the number of children that when you talk about that were involved yesterday, it's absolutely horrific to hear about. You know, you do get some of the positive stories that come out of this too. I read one this morning about, I mean, Andy Reid helping shelter, you know, with some people in place and everything and comforting them in the moment. was really, I think, really cool to read stories like that. But they always follow something terrible like this. And it's horrific when you're talking about, you know, the Super Bowl and this. And, man, it's a terrible thing to combine and us to have to talk about.
Yeah, it's looks like all of the children, it seems like, will be okay. That seems to be the word that we're getting right now. But, you know, this is something, again, everyone else will be talking about it today. You guys can follow all that, but worth our time here at the top of the show. Kelly, on a numbers game, not too often that you get to pregame here at 7 o'clock in the morning, but we actually get a pregame here, as there is a golf tournament, the Genesis, that is teeing off here in about 15 minutes over on the West Coast. And so we are able to give you at least our very quick rundown of all of this. The big story heading into this, the return of Tiger Woods, first time we've seen him in quite some time, and also the launch of his new clothing line, which everyone wants to talk about, because that seems to be something everyone really needs to dive into. Kelly, is the logo good?
The logo,
the logo's bad and whatever, and that's what everyone wants talk about here with all of this. Look, can Tiger win this? No. I mean, let's just be for real. Tiger cannot win this. So if you want to bet, you know, a couple of dollars on Tiger Woods just for have something to root for, fine. But maybe do it in a top 10 or a top 20 or something like that.
You could go top 40 at minus 115.
Yeah, or whatever. Something like that. But he's not going to win this tournament. Tiger turned 48 in December. Just get to 50, please, and then go and give him 20% of the Champions Tour. Just give him 20% of the Champions Tour and have him go over and just
win the tour. Yeah. What do you mean? Like,
he can basically go back to his heyday.
Yeah.
Of in where he would just walk out there and be like plus 120 to win a tournament, you know, and stuff like that, like in Tiger's heyday. He'd do that on the Champions Tour.
So, we talked a bit about it on Long Shots. What was it, Steve Stricker at like plus 350 or something? Back to Tiger Woods, Steve Stricker, like just dueling it out.
Let's do it. Tiger, we have 2 years, Kelly. He turns 50. Give him 20% of the whole tour. Just like make him 20% owner, and then let's start doing that. But anyway, let's get into where we are here with the Genesis again. This is teeing off here very shortly if you want to get in on it. Kelly, what ended up on your card there whenever you were all said and done?
Yeah, I'll just run through everything quickly again. I know we touched on it a bit yesterday. I did add some first-round leader bets, though. Outrights for me, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Adam Scott, and Cameron Young. I think that anything above 16, if you're looking at above 16 on Xander and Morikawa, would be plays for me. Shop around, because that's kind of the range you're seeing them in. Adam Scott, Cameron Young, a little bit longer shots here. Adam Scott's my favorite play, though, this week. We've seen this guy really have consistent finishes both at this tournament, some great recent form as well. So play a top 20 on him. That's one of my heavier bets of the season so far, at a top 20 on him. And then splash some top 10s on Xander and Colin Morikawa. And then did add some first-round leader bets this morning as well. Schauffele, Adam Scott, and your boy Sam Burns, who we know can go low for a round. So looking for those guys. They're kind of scattered throughout the day. It doesn't really look like the weather's going to be, you know, much of an impact all today. They, you know, fair warning where this course is located, you can get some crazy winds, you know, that come, the kind of funnel through the canyon there, but nothing that looked like it was really, really worrisome today as far as first round leader bets go.
Over on my side of things, Kelly and I do share Cam Young on an outright. Kelly got a little bit better of a number than I did. I played two different guys, and I guess you could even throw Will Zalatoris in there, to where I'm trying to be early and I don't want to be late. Justin Thomas and Ludvig Åberg. See,
look
nailed
at that. It. You look got at
it. Åberg.
We think.
Look, they're going to win, and they're going to win pretty soon on tour. Their game is really, really, really good right now. And so I don't know how long we're going to be getting these numbers on these guys. Listen, Justin Thomas used to be a dude that was right up there with Rahm and Rory and all those guys from an odd standpoint. We saw him kind of struggle. Odds started to drift. Now he's playing a little bit better. Odds at least drifting sort of closer back to where they used to be. I'll take him at 16.50. Like we said, Ludvig sitting there about 20-1. Sam Burns playing about the best golf on tour right now, and so I'm going to catch him as well. He is also he's already a proven winner, Kelly. You know this. Like Sam is going to win on tour this year. His game is just so incredibly good. And by the way, in the last 6 months, he started to bomb the ball. He's inside the top six in this tournament as far as driving distance and carry distance, which are things that we kind of weighted so far in this tournament. So Sam Burns on the outright, and I said Will Zalatoris as well on the outright, because Willie Z, Kelly, this is a guy that was typically in the 20-ish range, sometimes lower than 20-1 to win when he was in his peak, all the way up at anywhere from 50-60-1 in this tournament. And if you looked last week and you looked the last month or so, he's starting to put it together. Starting to come around.
Yeah, he's a guy that, I think all the guys that you're talking about, we hit on it on Long Shots too. I would say if you want a deeper explanation, go check it out. But yeah, the tournament starts in 15 minutes. So I might not do you a ton of, actually, that's not true. You can live bet all these. If you want to get more information, go listen to Long Shots. I think your strategy this week, I think especially with some of these guys that, yes, odds will be way shorter as soon as they win. I think there's no problem with that at all. I think the other one I was just going to point out, I was looking at Masters odds right now. I added him a couple weeks ago, Justin Thomas, when we first saw the glimpse of, oh, hey, JT kind of looks like he's back to JT after a bumpy year last year. I think this is, it's really the only major I feel like I do it for where I am adding Masters bets as the season goes, starts here. I think if you're betting him, like you are, you like him here this week, you think there's a realistic possibility of him winning, I'd shop around for Masters odds too and maybe add him, because those are going to keep getting shorter too.
I'm glad that you brought up the fact that you can continue to live bet this. Not only can you live bet the winner, you can live bet finishing positions as well. So things that I would definitely take advantage of out there if these markets are available to you. Let's talk the NFL draft and that number 2 and number 3 pick when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, we got a brand new website. You should check it out. Head to your browser of choice or even pop it up on your phone. VSiN.com has a mobile-first focus now. So when you go in, it's going to be much easier to navigate. You're going to be able to find what you're looking for, and it has a cool new look. And if you're new to this betting thing, we got a expanded educational section on the site as well. And, of course, everything that you know and love from the previous version of VSiN.com. So check it out, VSIN.com. Thursday edition of A Numbers Game here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, coming to you here from the D in downtown Las Vegas, and we just teed off. All the odds have now come down for a second. They will be back up, I assure you, over there. So the Genesis is rocking and rolling, and a tournament in which we, Kelly, we avoided the top of the board. It's worth just saying, if you wanted to bet Scotty or Rory or whatever, like Victor, all these different guys, like, we can't really make a compelling case against any of these people. So I know there's always people out there who go, like, why aren't you just betting Scotty Scheffler every single tournament? And I was like, well, I mean, it's a fair question because he's at the top of the leaderboard every single tournament. But at plus 650 in a field this tough, you're not going to make too much money betting Scotty Scheffler because he would have to win very, very, very often. And that's just not the case and not how it all works out, right?
So yeah, I think there's also other tournaments that I could more easily be like, look, if you want to go bet him, I can't really argue against him. He's number one in all my models. He's one of the tops in course history and stuff like that. This week, maybe not so much the case. Yes, every one of my stat models I ran, sure, he was still number one in. There's no surprise there. But you're talking about a tournament this week that a lot of these guys at the top of the board, some of the best golfers in the world that have all had success here, and that is a trend we've seen for winners at this tournament. It's usually guys that have done well here before too. So, whether we talk, some are the guys that we bet, right? Xander, JT, Cantlay, Morikawa, all these guys have played really well at this tournament before. So I think that when you almost need reasons to look away from Scotty sometimes. And I think this was a week where you could do that. And we talked about this on Long Shots, but Rory really wasn't spiking for me as much in my models compared to some of the other guys I bet, so really wasn't much of a consideration. And then Hovland, I don't know, but we saw him, we saw him skip last week partially because he said he needed to work on his game. So whenever I hear anybody say that, it's okay, well, it's easy for me to skip you this week and see how you look. And even if you wanted to, this is, again, the beauty of live betting, right? Maybe he looks great in round one. You want to jump in. You can go do that then.
Yeah, and technically, again, just one last thing, if you're looking at some of these markets out there, technically this is a cut event, but it is, you know, it's, there's only 70 players. It's top 50 in ties and also anyone within 10 strokes of the lead. So in theory, all 70 could make it through. So like, so as long as someone doesn't just run out to a huge lead and while someone also like has two terrible rounds where, and then that point they would fall outside of 10 strokes of the leader. But again, just to kind of, if you're wondering, like you're wondering, I thought this was a cut event, and then you see that 70, all 70 people made it through, that would be why.
I really hope we don't get the irony of you know, Tiger was one of the people, hey, he was cool with elevated events, he wants cuts, so there's a cut at his event.
Only one cut.
And does he end up like being one of three guys that misses the cut or something like that? Oh boy, that would be awful.
That would be terrible. All right, so number two pick in the draft. We talk number one. I think we are all pretty much under the consensus here. This is going to be Caleb Williams. It's just one of those things where we can't ignore the obvious. The obvious is he was the guy everyone was going to take number one, whoever it was coming into the season. He didn't do anything over the course of the season to play his way out of that. He didn't get injured. None of the different things that would really back you off of him. And so the general thinking here is first overall picks me Caleb Williams. But they just put up the number two and number three pick over on DraftKings. And this one's got a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
And Drake May minus 180 to go number two overall. Jaden Daniels plus 165 to go number two overall. Marvin Harrison actually has shorter odds than I thought, plus 450. So this has actually even changed since we made this graphic yesterday.
No, since I typed this up about 2 hours ago.
Oh, all right.
I had noticed movement in the third overall pick market, pretty big, pretty significant movement actually from yesterday. There wasn't much in the second overall pick, so it is interesting that we're seeing 5-10 cents here.
Yeah, so in the second overall pick, oh, this is actually very interesting. So J.J. McCarthy is now 14-1. As opposed to seven and a half to one. So there was a lot of movement this morning. So people started hitting this market in the last couple of hours, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is wild. I'm wondering how much. Yeah, with that McCarthy drift, it's interesting.
So the reason, and so I bet the draft a ton. If you followed any of our content over the last 3 years, it's been a pretty good betting endeavor for us. And the one thing I will always say is this is kind of silly season for mock drafts. And so people are going to put out mock drafts early on here where it's early enough where you can get away with putting something goofy in it and nobody's going to hold you accountable. And so if you see something that just looks completely absurd, it's probably not worth taking anything out of it because some people are just trying to get clicks. Some people want to just get mentioned by other people and then that drives them to their website or whatever it might be. And some people go by the whole thing of, you know, no publicity is bad publicity. And so even if you're a complete moron, they dig it, right? Maybe they'll get some follows out of it or whatever. Well, the reason that this has gotten much, much closer at the number two pick is because a guy over at ESPN named Field Yates, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Kelly, who is pretty respected in the industry and kind of knows his stuff, actually mocked Daniels second overall as opposed to Drake May. Jaden Daniels and Drake May, depending on who you talk to, there are actually differing opinions out there as to which guy people would take. Do you take the guy that is perceived higher floor in Drake May or the perceived higher ceiling in Jaden Daniels, because of course the comp is always going to be basically a better passing version of Lamar Jackson for Jaden Daniels, right? And that's, if you think how dynamic Lamar is with his legs and then you think about how much better he's gotten as a passer over the last few years, what if that bar was already higher and then the ceiling is even bigger and even higher because of course Jaden Daniels would get better the more experience he gets in the NFL, and that would be the thinking, of course, if you get the ceiling out of him. And so now we see this down to 180 and plus 165, and I think there will be some discussion by Washington as to which direction they want to go in, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see this number kind of like just ebb and flow over the course of, you know, the next couple of months as we do this, because I bet you there will be reports that come out and say, man, receiver XYZ sure likes whoever, and then this guy, sure, whatever, and this coach is leaning this away, and this scouting director for them really likes blah, and so you know, this market, the two overall market for me is going to be super interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that there, it's likely going to result in a bet on Jaden Daniels to me. Like, I just from everything I saw last year, and I mean, his deep throw numbers that were, I mean, led the way in college football. We know what he can do with his legs. We saw him put it all together against SEC level competition, where maybe you could have picked apart what he had done before at Arizona State a little bit. Like, that is, I thought he was great. Drake May, I think, was a guy that we all had our eyes on heading into the year, and not to say that he had a bad year or anything, but I thought Jaden Daniels was, I, of all the quarterbacks, including Caleb Williams, jumped out the most to you from what you saw this past season, and probably improved his draft stock by far the most. So him second overall at plus money, I'm interested to see how this moves. And I think he'll probably take, I would guess he takes money here before we get to, you know, what, combine, and then maybe measurables come into account, and we switch back a little bit. I'm with you.
Because what's going to happen is inevitably
he's tiny.
One of these guys is going to come out and say he's too fragile. He's too frail. He runs too much. And so all of those hits are going to take their toll and whatever. So, and inevitably maybe that shifts the odds, you know, but then someone's going to come out and be like, this guy throws one of the best deep balls I've ever seen.
Yeah. And just ran a 4-4 at the floor.
Whatever. Yeah. And then he goes back. There's going to be like, whoosh, yeah, back and forth, swinging all over the place with this one. I will say this, and, you know, while I'm 99% certain Caleb Williams goes number one overall, if you have a Caleb Williams position on him going number one overall, if you wanted just a cover your rear end plus 750 ticket just to like make sure you don't come out of this shocked and broke, I don't hate the idea, because at the end of the day, all it takes is one guy to fall in love with someone, and then that guy can rocket up to that number one. Listen, remember, I always go back to this draft. Like, Baker Mayfield was not supposed to go number one overall. You know, like, Baker Mayfield was going to be he was going to be a first rounder, but he was not supposed to go number one overall. And then they just fell in love with him. And then next thing you know, the 3 days leading into the draft, like, he just rockets up and like, I think they're going to take Baker Mayfield. Like, I really think they're going to take Baker Mayfield. I don't think that anyone is going to pass on Caleb Williams, but it is at least a bet you could put in your account that if everything fails, that you could look back on it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And we got to circle back to these third overall pick odds, because these have shifted, you know, really in the past 24 hours, and it's kind of interesting.
I love it. Instead, we're going to talk a little NBA when we come back with our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you have not already become a VSiN Pro subscriber, boy, do we have a deal for you. Just $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe, to kind of dip your toe in for the first month. But if you do the math and you look at a calendar, that month is also going to include March Madness. So you're going to get our betting guide just for $9.99 and every single thing else we do for that first month. But you can go in, get all those picks, the best bets, the betting splits, everything you love about what we do here at VSiN for just $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get our next guest picks, his articles and breakdowns as well. It is a numbers game. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin here on the desk with me as well. We are joined by our now everyday host and NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, how you doing, buddy?
Everyday host. I don't know if that was, I don't know what that means. So
yeah, one of those things. It's
you're just like a guy we see like almost every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be every day. I don't know.
We'll see how it all works out. So I'm sure you have been asked this a few different times, and you and Kelly maybe even brought it up on Hardwood Handicappers, but as people transition from the NFL over to other sports, right now it's kind of like the season has begun for everybody else that isn't trying to do more sports, more than one sport at a time. So is there a way to kind of catch people up on what we're looking at, what we're finding important from a betting aspect for NBA betting? Because again, we can just go to the VSiN.com/picks page. Maybe there's some people out there that want to see what you're betting at night and then kind of go in and check your work, if you will, or see if they have an opinion differing from yours. what is some of the stuff that you feel like people could get in? It's not too in the weeds, can help them handicap some NBA.
Well, I would say that first off, Matt, coming up here in the next couple of days, we're going to have an NBA at the break primer up on the website of Beeson.com. That's going to cover everything in terms of every single team. We have sorted the teams into tiers, contenders, outside looking in, and then the others. We have thoughts on futures. So I would very much stress to anybody out there to check out Beeson.com in the coming days for that. Outside of it, I would say, look, one of my biggest weapons is always kind of just like watching. So once it starts back up, just watch and pay attention. But I do think that checking out the statistics, right, going to NBA.com/stats, seeing what these teams are good at, checking out offensive and defensive efficiency and seeing what the strengths and weaknesses are. Websites like StatFox.com are great in terms of assessment of teams, how they do against the spread in every single situation is a really good way to get your bearings and get ready for what is going to be a hellacious home stretch here in both conferences, because there's a lot to be decided. But I think gathering data in those ways is probably the most important way that you can probably handle things over the course of the next few days before play starts back up post All-Star break.
How much do you weigh in back to backs, either front ends, back ends, three and fours, all the stuff like that? How much does that play into your day-to-day handicapping?
It's been a part of it. We've talked about this a lot on the pod where, you know, factoring in scheduling spots has been a lot more important for me this year because, Matt, it's been something that, frankly, I think a lot of times in my past I have poo-pooed to too much of an extent, right? It's almost worked against me. These are very important situations. Now, I would stress to anybody out there, not every back-to-back is created equal, right? And I think it's where the back-to-back falls on the calendar, which is important. You know, a back-to-back where it's just like, hey, this is the second game and like 4 days or 5 days because you had rest on the front end, you have rest on the back end. That doesn't really matter. But if you're talking about a back-to-back that is the third game in 4 nights, sometimes you're talking about a sixth game in 9 days, things like that. That's when I think playing on no rest really carries a lot of weight. So I would very much stress just the back-to-back itself is not really that vital. It's where the back-to-back falls. And if you're talking about a rash of games that then includes this playing with no rest, I think that's when it gets it's a lot more important. So that's what, for me, has become more important this season in terms of my handicapping. And I think it's helped me out a lot.
That is very, very good advice. Again, Hardwood Handicappers with Jonathan Von Tobel, the man to my right as well, Kelly Bidlin. Be sure to go in, subscribe, rate, review. See, you guys said the subscribe, rate, review. You also subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcasts.
Steven sends us the comments. We've responded to a few.
Really?
Yeah. We need more, though. We need more.
All right. Well, then go in. Just subscribe, like rate, review. There it is. Hardwood Handicappers. JVT, so some people are kind of parachuting in. Like we said, NFL's over, looking for something else to bet. They want to get a ticket in their account. They want to get some sort of futures. I'll get to MVP in just a second, but let's go just kind of big picture here. Champion. Celtics are the short shot plus 260. Then you get to the Nuggets, it's 475. Clippers at 5-1. Bucks at 6.5. And then it gets to double digits after that. Is there anybody in double digits that you could feel good about recommending to someone who wants to have a little bit juicier ticket in their account and something to root for as we come down the stretch in the NBA season?
Yeah, I'd say there's two and a half teams that I think are worth looking at. In the Eastern Conference, for me, and I think Kelly would agree, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. In that, like, when you're talking about near 30-1 in some spots for Cleveland to win this thing, the fact that they could be the two seed and a team that I believe at this point right now, I mean, I know they're playing better than Milwaukee. I think they can be better than Milwaukee, given the additions in terms of shooting that they made in the offseason that paid out very, very well in Max Strus and George Niang. Donovan Mitchell's playing at an MVP level with the way that he has been. Darius Garland, now he is healthy. I know he missed some time recently, but he is healthy. And they are now, Matt, what I think is really intriguing, starting to learn that, hey, maybe we should start to stagger our guys in Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Maybe we should start to play smaller. Maybe we should start to actually play to the strengths that this roster has. I think is really intriguing in an Eastern Conference that all of a sudden, guys, with Joel Embiid's injury and the struggles of the Milwaukee Bucks, after Boston looks absolutely wide open. And so when you're talking about Cleveland and how well they've played, that's absolutely worth investing if we're talking around the range of 25-30-1 to win the NBA Finals, then of course by extension to win the Eastern Conference. And in the West, I think you know, as I mentioned, there's one, you know, two and a half. The half for me would be Phoenix, only in that we saw Bradley Beal the other night, guys, go down with a hamstring injury and leave the game against Sacramento. That has been the issue for the Suns all season long. Beal has only played 30 games. He is out again with a soft tissue injury. If he is going to miss extended time again, it's going to be a small issue. But Matt, in their last 25 games, they're 17-8 straight up. They're top 10, actually near top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency and non-garbage time. Their versatility, their ability to score, the high-end play, I think is incredible. So that's why I give it the half, because Beal's injury is going to be really, really big. And Kelly kind of mocked me a little bit. He laughed at me the other day for this, but I'm going to bring this up. I don't hate the Golden State Warriors at 25-1 to win the Western Conference, because I think that they are much better than what we have seen to this point. Injuries have kind of derailed the season a little bit. Chris Paul is going to come back at the back end of the All-Star, you know, when they come back after the All-Star break. Draymond Green was suspended for a while, but Matt, since he's come back, they're playing very good basketball. You know, 8-5 straight up, 9-4 against the spread, top five in offense and defense in that stretch. They played very well. And I just think this team now being somewhat whole, at the very least, they're a playoff team. You know, I think they make it through the play-in. And Matt, if you're talking about like a 2-7 matchup where it's Oklahoma City and Golden State, it's a winnable series for that team. So if you're talking about betting on them at about 25-1 to win the West, and there's a realistic scenario where you're sitting in the West semis with the Golden State Warriors at 25-1 against whoever they would face in that second round, I think there's some real upper mobility for Golden State there. So those would be the three that I would really be interested in if you don't have anything yet, right? It would be Cleveland, it would be Phoenix, or it would be Golden State.
You mentioned the injury to Joel Embiid. That really shook up the MVP market. Jokic sitting at minus 165 right now. SGA at plus 260. You can get Giannis at 7-1. Luka at 11-1. Everyone else is probably not having a shot at winning this thing. So
why?
Where do we sit? Let's just go based on the odds then. What do you say based on the odds? What do you like here? Again, someone kind of parachuting in. They're probably not going to lay 165 with Jokic. So is there another bet to make?
Yeah, and actually, this is, I'll give away a little bit of what we wrote about for the upcoming primer. One of the futures I did write up was Luka Doncic at 11-1. You know, with the thought process of if you're coming in and you got nothing in this race so far, where would you want to go? I think it would be Luka. Luka has risen since the recent straw poll that we saw from Tim Bontemps over at ESPN. He actually got one more first place vote than Giannis Antetokounmpo in this most recent straw poll, and he's got the counting stats, right? Like, he leads the league in scoring. He's averaging 8 rebounds and 9 assists, so he's going to have that. And if this is a team that can surpass Phoenix, can win the 5 seed, it can really maybe push for potentially getting a top 4 seed in the West in this home stretch, I think that's going to be something that really helps Luka Doncic out. And as far as the number is concerned, I think to me, that's the big one, Matt. Like, I think that he has almost equal chance of winning this award as a Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that yet there Giannis sits at 7-1. He's there at 11-1. I think in terms of just probability and number, the guy that does have the most value for me that is moving up by some standards, it would be Luka Doncic at 11-1 or better.
He is our senior NBA betting analyst, and that's all. That's it. So John Favonto, if you want to follow him over on the Twitter machine, at MeJVT, and of course, Hardwood Handicappers with Kelly Bidlin and company over there. JVT, thanks for the time this morning, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You grind 5 days a week. I don't know what it's like. Thanks.
Oh, Kelly Bidlin. Sometimes you just, you know, things happen. Whatever.
We just
move right along. You know, we just move right along.
I'm surprised JVT went Luka there instead of Kawhi. I know he's still a believer in his Clippers and Kawhi. I don't think he's completely out of it. I do think there's a realistic shot where the Clippers land the 1 seed and Kawhi's still in the conversation. I really do.
Hey, they're 11-1 and 50-1. Throw both of them in your account. You can always do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get a little snort on both of them if you don't. Let's keep talking these NFL markets that are up over DraftKings when we come back here on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you do not yet have a DraftKings Sportsbook account, we're going to give you a reason to go get one. Up to 1,000 reasons to go get one, actually, where you can get up to $1,000 in a no-sweat bet. Should you lose your first bet that you put in over there, but you got to use promo code VSiN deposit. Go in, make your bet. If that bet doesn't hit, you will get that amount back in bonus bets into your account instantly if you use a promo code VSiN. Up to $1,000. This is one of those bets where I used to get on an airplane, Kelly. You were with me. You knew this, where I used to get on airplanes and fly to other states to take advantage of deposit offers and things like that. And now everyone can do this just in the comfort of their own home.
How long is that flight to Phoenix?
Oh, man, it's just a little, you hardly even get off the ground.
Is that the up and down, a 45-minute up and down?
You just hardly even get off the ground.
Is it same length as L.A., or is L.A. slightly longer?
It's about the same.
Within five minutes.
But those are the easy ones. Remember, I made the flight to Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, no, no. I made the flight to Jersey to take all those. Those are easy. Those are easy. I know the big time flights to go take advantage of the deposit offer. So, yes.
I don't know why that's striking me as like the Wayne's World. It was like, welcome to Delaware. Like, it is really like for you to be able to just go across to Arizona as compared to going all the way to Jersey. Like, I flew to Jersey this weekend to make some bets.
We are underway over at the Genesis, but a reminder, you can always live bet that tournament. Kelly, a stat coming through here from Lou Stagner. You can find him over on the Twitter machine. Scotty Scheffler's played 11 rounds this season. His greens in regulation percentage is 88.4%.
That's not bad.
So he follows it up with like a 5 handicap, hits the green 88.4% of the time from 32 yards away. So, I mean, it's just like to put that into perspective.
Wait,
like,
you just caught that somewhere? Someone tweeted that to you? Or texted
I just caught it through the...
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that is awesome.
Coming through the deal. So, literally, a 5 handicap hits the green at that rate from 32 yards away.
See, these are things that are just... These are things that just... Hearing something like that doesn't make me want to go out and play golf anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, great. Yeah, cool.
Like, the game's impossible.
The game's impossible.
Except for Scotty Scheffler, who just goes out 88% every single week. Yeah, just every single week and does it every single week. Okay, so we hit the number 2 odds. And some listen, I think there will be some interesting debate about these number 2 pick odds pretty close to running all the way up to it, because I think there are going to be people in the Drake May camp. I think there's going to be people in the Jaden Daniels camp, and we're really going to have to rely on the people that we have a real sense that they're plugged in with Washington as to which way they're going to go in all of this. And then, of course, that leads us then to the number 3 pick in the draft. And so if it's going to be Drake May number 2, the general consensus thinking here is that it's going to be Jaden Daniels at number 3. And Jaden Daniels comes in at plus 150. Drake May comes in at plus 165. Marvin Harrison at plus 225. J.J. McCarthy. But wait, this has moved, Kelly. Hold on. So we're going to go in and let me give everybody the updated odds here. Daniels 150, May 165, Harrison 225, McCarthy 550, and Ault is 20-1, Penix is 30-1, Bo Nix 30-1. So here's something that I would say. It will not be Penix or Nix or there are no draft guys that I follow, that you follow, that anybody follows out there that has Penix, Nix, even in the same breath as the Mays and Daniels and Caleb Williamses of the world. So they very well might climb into the first round at some point, but they will not go number 3 overall. So that to me would be something that I would not worry about, like as far as putting it in. Now, JJ McCarthy's this weird deal, because there are draftniks out there who are in love with JJ McCarthy. They're like, it's all this untapped potential. You didn't see it at Michigan because they didn't have to use him, but all you got to do is go to practice. All you got to do is see this guy, whatever. And then there are other guys who say, like, yeah, that's cool and all, but Trey Lance also had all the potential in the world, and we didn't get to see it in college, and then it didn't translate to the NFL. So there are two big-time differing opinions on J.J. McCarthy. So I don't think it's crazy out of the realm of possibility. Could it ever happen in a million years he goes 3 overall? But I'm pretty certain it will be some combination of Williams, May, Daniels, and it would shock me otherwise.
Okay, so the other thing I think it's worth bringing up that I don't know, we probably have to bring up every draft now, is like age is going to come into play here too. Like that is something that works in McCarthy's favor, right? He's 20 years old. You've got some of these guys that are going to be 23, 24, which is just kind of odd in the NFL to see. And that's going to, I'm interested to see how much of a factor that becomes. Maybe it's not necessarily this year, but over the next few years, sure. Right?
How big, well, Penix has a huge knock on him.
Right, exactly, because of that. Yeah. And, you know, Bo Nix is 23, right? He'll be near 24, I think, by the time the season starts.
And played in 297 college football games.
I bet on him to win the Heisman in 2014, yeah. Like something like that. Yeah. It feels like it. So that's going to be really interesting. But I think we're going to follow up on this later because you mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. yesterday and loving him as the fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
So if you were someone in the camp of you, and we don't have odds for fourth overall pick, but we have some teams you could tie this to, would it not be a bet on Jaden Daniels and Drake May just at these numbers?
Yeah, I mean, it's to me.
Or are we just too early for something?
We're too early on that because the one thing that is great about the draft is it's an information-based market.
Correct.
So we actually can be getting stuff at the same time that the books get it. And if we are able to react soon enough, then we can actually find edges in these markets and whatnot. And so there will be at some point, hey, by the way, Washington is really leaning X.
Right.
And with that, it's going to create value on the other guy. And then, like you said, it will then ebb and flow the other way. We're probably going to be able to get good plus money on both guys is my opinion.
It will clear up, though, more than this. Like, I can't imagine, like, how long do you think we're going to see odds for the third overall pick where there's four guys that are five and a half to one or shorter? You know what I mean?
It will come out very soon because we already know whoever takes that third pick, and listen, it might not be New England, but whoever takes that third pick, if they traded New England for that third pick, it would be for a quarterback, right? I mean, like, that's the other thing about all of this is there's no scenario that plays out where someone trades into three.
There's no scenario where someone tries to jump Arizona for Marvin Harrison.
Not given the quarterback needy teams that are out there that need a quarterback very, very badly, right? And I think Arizona has pretty much already put into play it's going to be Marvin Harrison, and there's no way for them to move around. Listen, if a quarterback fell to them, then the scenario that should have played out anyway, because the Cardinals shouldn't have tripped over their own feet and won as many games as they did, and then they wouldn't be in this scenario where they're locked into Kyler Murray if they didn't want to be. But it would come down to the, okay, wow, now we're back in the same scenario that we didn't think we were going to be in, which is, do we take a quarterback and try to move Kyler Murray? Or, you know, what? So now everything becomes super, super wacky in that situation. The thing that I am, and we were pointed out, like you mentioned, those teams tied to a certain player. I am pretty much dead set that Harrison is going to Arizona. If you are tied now to Kyler Murray, you do not have a receiver on your roster that is NFL worthy. I mean, basically, when it comes down to it, to be able to go in and get a guy that can instantly step in day one and be your wide receiver one and probably end up growing into being, barring injury, one of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL pretty rapidly, pretty soon. This is like kind of a Jamar Chase scenario all over again, right? Where you're drafting a guy who can just step in day one and just be a wide receiver one in the NFL. And so I just can't imagine them passing on that opportunity. And honestly, if you think like who would make that move, the Chargers, there's no way. Like there's too much. You couldn't give that up for a receiver. There'll be other receivers. If anything, they could trade down and get more draft capital or get more, you know, a player in return or something like that to get one of these other receivers and all. So it's just like,
I mean, you'd like to say the Chargers are fine at wide receiver, but they're never healthy.
Yeah,
right. That's the only problem.
And Quentin Johnson, who they took last year in the first round, didn't pan out.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly stellar.
To at least what they thought he was going to be anyway. Now, is some of that to blame on the team just in general? I mean, the whole team underperformed, so who knows? Maybe he's much better than we think, but I think they do take a pass catcher there at five or trade out of that thing for somebody who's looking for one of these for one of those tackles or whatever. But yeah, it's super interesting there from a third pick perspective. It's either going to be New England with a quarterback or someone trading New England to get a quarterback. I find it very, very hard to believe that someone would trade with New England to go and get Marvin Harrison. It's to me, with as many quarterback needy teams as we have in this draft, that trade happens with someone who needs a quarterback, and you get more in return for it, you know, because quarterbacks are more important.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so you get more in return for it. We're going to continue on here talking some NFL next team odds when we come back here on